You're not sick, Amelia, no.
No?
No, you're a little farsighted.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
This is the Farsighted Network.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy the show. Woo!
Hey everyone, here is the audio from a interview I did for Synapse, another site I write for, that you probably have heard me talk about if you've been a fan any time of length. And we did a video interview with an artist named Signs, and I think you would dig the audio, so I wanted to share it with you, my loyal listeners. Thanks a lot, and enjoy, and check out the audio at the link below if you're looking at the show notes. Take care.
In the dark, resigned to my fate, caught in a tempest of my own make. I'm falling fast away.
Jason, thanks so much for us having a chance to talk for Spinema, which is a music column on a film site called Synapse. And again, a lot of times one of the things that happens as I review music is I think of things very cinematically, and I hear music that reminds me of film or has a cinematic quality, and you were one of those folks. So I wanted to reach out to you and talk to you a little bit about music and film and kind of those worlds and maybe how they might collide in your world. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm fond of music, but I'm a big fan of film as well. In fact, probably the most organic place to start is the very beginning.
Awesome.
I remember being a kid and my dad taking me to go see Blade Runner.
Nice.
I didn't know anything about it other than starred Han Solo. So I was in.
Okay.
And the second the film opens, it's just in this big Yamaha CS80, that you got that wide shot of the fire coming up. And I was just my DNA changed in that moment. I was like, I want to do that thing. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know much about synthesizers or anything. I was just that moment made the hair on my arm stand up. And I was like, I want to do that thing.
Awesome. So kind of going from there, obviously you're a music guy. Why don't we introduce, you a little bit, so for people who are watching, who you are, where you're from, and kind of what you do musically.
My name is Jason Wan. I'm a songwriter, producer, DJ. I'm born and raised in Portland, Oregon. Love it here. I think it informs a lot of my art and who I am as a person. And my most recent couple albums have been under the name Signs.
Okay.
It's evolving. I mean, it started out as a way to showcase some of my production skills and write some songs and work with different. The original plan was to work with different vocalists for every song. It's not exactly how it worked out. And that has now evolved into one of the vocalists from the most recent record, which is called A Series of Moments, has become sort of my writing partner. And we're working on a full length together. And that's the first time I've worked with just one vocalist since 2013. So it's I guess kind of like being in a band, although she's in the UK, I'm here in Portland. So it's not dissimilar from working on the previous Signs records, in that there's a lot of email and a lot of trying to discuss abstract ideas without being in the same room, which is a bit of a challenge.
That's fair. So where's the name Signs come from?
couple of places. One, because it was designed to be a collaborative thing, like I am sign, whomever else I'm working with is cosign, ergo we are signs. Also, when I was a kid, I remember learning that, you know, all sound was derived from the sine wave, basically. And that kind of freaked me out that, like, that there's just, you know, one fundamental wave shape and everything is sort of a derivation of that. And then lastly, it was the name that I hated the least.
Fair enough. Sometimes it's hard to come up with a name that you like, right? I mean, you know, when you're naming a project or something.
Well, for sure. And like, you know, and you never know how it's going to land, and you want something that's, you know, marketable and catchy and hopefully someone else hasn't used and blah, 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 blah. And I think there are some other people that have used it before, but we'll deal with that at some point if we need to.
Hey, well, you know, as long as they're not knocking down your door, I think you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood.
So like I said, your particular project that you have out right now felt cinematic to me. You know, although I will say it also, I think one of the things I noted was a quote of yours in your bio where you said, don't bore us, get to the chorus. And
Yeah.
I kind of like that motto, the for fun, dancey, you know, always kind of moving, which I feel like kind of exemplifies what your sound is, at least in this record.
Yeah, I mean, much music, and in particular, dance music, that is kind of boring, or that, like, there's no, like, I'm supposed to put my lighter in the air, you know what I mean? Like, that should never be a guess. And, like,
I get that, yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the perfect pop song is 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and you should be able to sing along by the second chorus, and, you know, it should stick in your head like a gnarly earworm. You know, I try to impose those rules on whatever I do, just because, you know, those are the songs that, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up in the 80s, and there were so many amazing pop songs.
Yeah.
In the 80s, and they were just so catchy. I mean, you know, you look at a record like Billie Jean, like even the bass line hook, the drums are a hook, and like the whole thing is just hook after hook after hook after hook. And, you know, you just don't hear records like that anymore. And I set myself the ambitious task of like trying to, I didn't think I was, you know, in the same league as Quincy Jones or, you know, those dudes, but like I wanted to try to shoot for something and like make a statement in that way.
Awesome. So, you know, you we opened up the conversation, you're talking about Blade Runner and you're saying, nah, I want to do that, you know. Have you ever tried to dip your toe into score or getting into the film world at all?
Yeah, I've helped a friend out with little student indie film and just sort of some atmospheric sort of Stranger Things kind of stuff. And I really like a lot of film work like Vangelis and Giorgio Moroder and John Carpenter and those guys that, and you know, it's just, it's the opportunity hasn't presented itself. Except for backwards, I made this like weird art movie collage thing for A Series of Moments that was basically a re-edited version of Future World with some other stuff with lyrics on it.
I've watched a good chunk of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so. But there's also, you know, sort of textualize the songs in a filmic way as sort of practice for like, okay, like one of the things I've been doing with the record I'm working on now is like watching like old sci-fi stuff and like working on music at the same time and trying to get a vibe from it, or sort of much like a film score composer would do. And maybe down the road, if and when the opportunity presents itself, I'll be prepared.
Very cool. So what kind of sci-fi are you watching, and what kind of sci-fi are you into?
I like a lot of the 70s stuff and a lot of bad sci-fi, but like, you know,
there's nothing bad about bad sci-fi. I'm into it. That's cool.
I just watched this movie last called Rage War. About a dude whose girlfriend gets kidnapped by a warlock, and he gets like in love with his computer, and like, and the bailiff from Night Court was the demon guy. I mean, it was insane.
Oh, it's funny you say that, and I totally saw a trailer for that on some big thing of trailers I was watching. So I haven't seen it, but as soon as you said the bailiff from Night Court, I was like, oh yeah, that's the movie with Richard Mull. Okay, yeah.
I believe it's on Tubi, T-U-B-I.
Yes. I think I saw it also on, well, another service that I have. Yeah, but that's where I saw those coming up. I think it just got added to a bunch of services like in the last month. And yes, it's on my list. So it's funny you say that, because it's on my list.
But like, you know, I've been watching stuff like Megaforce, a lot of like Italian stuff,
mm-hmm.
like from the 60s, like Danger Diabolic. I guess that's not really sci-fi, but
yeah, there's kind of stuff in those 60s, 70s where they're not technically sci-fi, but they have that sci-fi vibe to them.
Right.
Yeah, because I always group, you know, Marathon Man, which is only vaguely science fiction, in 70s movie, but I always group it with things like Logan's Run and Blade Runner in my head, because there's something about the vibe that feels like that 70s sci-fi to me. And I feel like that some of that Italian 60s, 70s stuff has a similar vibe.
Especially like the Dino De Laurentiis stuff. Right. And that was like, you know, I, you know, and Ghosts of Mars. Anyway, where they had the badass leather outfits from like the 40s. Like that movie was awesome.
Nice.
No, nice. Vampires.
I was going to say, The Ghost of Mars is, that's the John Carpenter movie that I think most people consider one of his worst. But I think it's got some really cool looking stuff in it, even though it's not a good movie.
Yeah, but like, he doesn't give a shit.
No.
He just does what he wants to do. And like, that I aspire to is just like, I'm going to do what I do, and the rest of you can either like it or not. I don't care.
Well, and then you brought him up as a composer too. Like he's got such a unique sound on the music he composes that it's really even like you can hear certain influences, but if it's a Carpenter score written by Carpenter, you know, it's a Carpenter score like right away. Like he's got his own sound, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to a lesser extent, Clint Eastwood is a similar guy, but that's another conversation.
Fair enough. We don't have to go there. I gotcha.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. Fair enough. But that's awesome. I think on our site, a lot of us are genre guys. I often get in the one that gets accused for having the worst taste. So I think that I'm okay with really bad movies.
Well, it's like a fan of time-based art.
Right.
Because 70 minutes, it takes 70 minutes. Whereas a painting, you can look at it for 10 seconds and like, I'm out. Or you can stare at it for 3 hours, you know.
Especially if you're on some substances, you can probably stare at it for even longer.
Right. But have you seen that New York Ninja movie or heard about it?
Oh, so I'm very familiar with it, but I have yet to watch it. I didn't have the money to order myself a copy yet.
That was somebody's dream. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like, and so I love it. Like, I watch the credits because I'm like, man, if I was like Electric, I'd want to be proud of that and like have my mom watch it in the credits and shit. And I'm like, a lot goes into making a piece of art like that. And I feel like it's, as a viewer, like, I know not everyone watches the credits, but I try to, because I just think it's, you know, and like, same goes with like shitty movies. Like, they probably didn't know they were making a shitty movie at the time.
Right. No, that's fair. Just, I mean, and you got to think, like, some of the people, you know, historically, you know, we I think we all appreciate him now looking back, but during his time, people thought Ed Wood's movies were horrible, you know?
Right.
And, but I don't know that there's a man, when you actually learn about him, that loved filmmaking more than him.
Right.
You know, the guy just loved what he did, and even when he knew it wasn't good, didn't care. He was just having a good time with his friends and having, you know, and doing something he loved. And I think, like, that's something to aspire to, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I try to, with everything I make, you know, it's got to satisfy an audience of one. You know, if anyone else likes it, that's gravy. But, like, you know, if I was entertained, then it's valid.
Yeah, that's fair. So, just that, you know, you knew at an early age you wanted to do music and do stuff like mm-hmm. that. How young did you actually start touring around and doing stuff?
So I was like 13. When I told my parents I wanted to make, you know, like, they were like, not, no, you know. You take piano lessons, and I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to program synthesizers. I don't need to learn how to play. I'd like had a very keen idea of what I wanted to do. And they were like, well, then you're going to do it on your own. And so, you know, I sort of started studying magazines and books and like learning about keyboards and working odd jobs, and then eventually got some money and bought my first thing and taught myself how to use it. And from then on, I mean, I did my first CD was in 1994. Okay. And I've been basically doing it ever since.
I mean, to be fair, that's only a couple years after CDs really got big. So you were doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there was like 3 pressing plants and like some big release that, at the time, that was like, anyway.
I think I got my first CD player around like 92. So that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. But it was, you know, always make, just whether or not other people care about it or listen, but like I'm compelled to do it. I have to. It's a compulsion.
That's fair. It's kind of like I'm compelled to write. Like, I have to write, whether it's writing about like I write about stuff most of the time. I like writing essays about movies I love and essays about music I love, and you know, whether it's a simple review or it's a, you know, 10-page diatribe about feminism in Assassination Nation. I just reread a piece I wrote a couple years ago. So, you know, it's just something that, like, yeah, I'm compelled to do that. And, like, you know, I've had a crappy week at work so far, and that's what I'm burying myself. Second, I get back from work, I'm burying myself in that, you know, as much as I can, because it kind of helps me clear my head and keep me focused. So I could see that, you know, anyone who has kind of their thing, their art, their whatever, I could see that being something that you can't really stop doing once you start doing it. It's a compulsion. I get that.
Yeah. Well, and like, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but like, if you don't do it for long enough, like, your life seems to go to hell.
Yep. Yeah. Sort of, I see.
Like, I have to get it out of me somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, and honestly, like, even like certain movies or music that I watch, I experience, like, I can't not write about it. Like, if I don't write about it, it feels like I didn't fully finish the experience. Like I have something to say and I have to get it out. So, like, you know, I, my wife's an artist. And she draws and paints and she sews and makes really awesome clothing and things like that. And so, she's got a variety of different, you know, art hobby, and not just hobbies too. She makes stuff and sells it. Went to design school and stuff like that. So like, I really resonate with that, you know, what you're saying. It's like, as an example, like my wife can't watch, we watch movies every night. Like we fall asleep watching a movie. It's like a thing we do. And she has to be knitting the whole time. Like she can't not be using her hands in some way. She, you know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's kind of part of her, you know, whether it's sewing, it's knitting, it's drawing, it's painting, you know, like there's a whole variety of different things, but she's always doing one of them. So it is really interesting to me to watch, you know, and interact having her there next to me all the time. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, so just out of curiosity, you know, like I said, we're a film site, so I do like to ask people too, just like, have you seen anything cool lately besides Rage War, which is on my list and I'm making sure I will watch it.
One of the best things I've seen recently, Last Night in Soho.
Good movie.
I don't know how people didn't love it.
Yeah.
Music was fantastic. It was, the story zigged where you thought it was going to zag. It had Terrence Stamp. Like, you know, what's not to love? Like, it's great.
Yeah. I was a big fan as well. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. I think having it dubbed as a horror film in a lot of the things I saw were a little inaccurate. The idea of it is horrifying. Some of the things about it are really horrifying, but in actuality, it didn't feel paced like a horror movie.
Thriller type.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it was just cool period drama too. Like, so you know, I dug that.
But I really enjoyed. I was ready to hate it.
Wait, what? I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. What movie was that?
The new Dune.
Oh, okay. Weirdly enough, I haven't watched that yet.
For Bear. I was like, this is going to suck, and I'm going to watch it. Sure that my confirmation bias is confirmed. And I was like, it's good. Like, I'm supportive of the choices that he made, like, of the stuff that he kept from the Lynch stuff.
Okay.
And where he make those choices, he made different choices, and like the book is always a different thing from the movie. I'm never gonna say one is better than the other. They're just different. Like, it's an inaccurate comparison. But I thought it was great. I thought it was beautifully done. My only complaint is I didn't think Timothée Chalamet had gravitas to be, you know, a chosen one type character. Mm-hmm. But that's a casting call. And like,
are you a big fan of the Lynch film?
I'm not a huge fan of it, but it was I think you have a natural affinity to films that you saw when you were at a certain age.
100%. That's what I was going to say. For me, it's a movie that means a lot to my youth, but not necessarily a movie I love to this day.
Right, exactly.
And it's funny, some of the scenes in it, up until, like, I blended when I was as a kid, some of the scenes in it with Star Wars. And I was like the Sarlacc pit with, like, the big worms and this, and they kind of went together in my head, and it wasn't until I was in, like, high school and college that I started going, oh, wait, that wasn't from that. Oh, okay. So, because, you know, you watch these movies a ton on television, you know, like I grew up in the New York area, and we had a local station, WPIX, that like played Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon movies, and I think I saw Dune and Star Wars on them so commonly that they intertwined so much with me, even though Star Wars is very integral in my life as well. I'm a big Star Wars guy. Dune was something when I was young I watched a lot, and I didn't rewatch it as an adult until pretty recently in preparation for the new movie, and then I haven't watched the new movie yet, so I'm actually just falling behind, you know?
I did the same exact thing. Like, I hadn't seen Dune in years, and I was like, this is not as awesome as I remember.
That's fair. Like, there's a lot of things like that, I think, when I revisit them, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Jodorowsky's Dune project?
Oh, greatest film that never got made?
Yes.
Like, what an insane documentary. Was like beginning to end just insanity.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, they were gonna set a giraffe on fire. Like, he was making fun of Pink Floyd and was gonna have, you know, Orson Welles, and I mean, good lord.
Yeah, and I mean, Jodorowsky's films are all kind of batshit crazy anyway, but right. Like, I mean, his Dune just awesome. Seems amazing.
Holy Mountain's not an easy watch.
No. Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike Holy Mountain. I like Holy Mountain, but I'm more of a El Topo Santa Sangre guy.
Okay.
And I think it's because I still appreciate films with narrative that makes sense. And Holy Mountain, for half the film, has no real narrative. It gets to having a narrative, kind of. And then at the end it says, well, fuck your narrative. It doesn't mean anything.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's funny. The I have friends of friends who are actually really close with the guy who made Jodorowsky's Dune.
So,
what's interesting about that film is, without that film, Jodorowsky's more recent output probably never would have happened, because it's what got him back together with his production partner.
Right.
They hadn't spoken in whatever 25 years or something until that movie, which is kind of crazy, because they both had gotten over their crap and didn't know that the other one was over it until this whole thing was happening, and they were like, oh, wow. You know, so... I mean, that's a really cool story when you really look at it. But I was just wondering, because when I watched that, I think, man, that's a movie I really wish I could have seen.
Oh, absolutely, positively. Like, it couldn't have been made, but like, it should have been.
Right, it's true. I mean, there's so many ideas that you're like, well, that never would have happened, and that never would have happened. Maybe that would have maybe happened. But, you know, he had blown through so much of his budget in pre-production that it could never have even, like, he would have needed millions and millions and millions of dollars more to even pretend to make that movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, how many thousands of drawings did Ralph McQuarrie do? I mean, good
Lord. It's nuts. And, I mean, that stuff's really cool. You know, like, looking that, yeah. But, that's very, very cool. You know, and you know, looking at, you know, these movies, you know, like, Lynch is a good example, since we were just talking about Lynch. You know, I've always really appreciated the music in his films a lot. Both the, you know, the score, and, like, I like a film that can have good score side by side with some... nice pop music, you know.
It's a tricky thing to pull off.
It is, because
to do it well,
you know, you have your needle drop movies that are going to have tons of great pop, but it doesn't always work with what's going on. It doesn't always, you know. I mean, like, on the other hand, like, there are movies like Guardians of the Galaxy, the two of those, which are my favorite Marvel movies because they're not really like the other Marvel movies,
right?
And they're needle drop movies, big time. But sure, all the needle drops work. And so I like that.
Like Baby Driver, like,
oh,
that movie,
oh God,
couldn't exist without, like, the soundtrack.
Oh my God, that soundtrack is so good. And, like, that's one of, if not my favorite Edgar Wright movie, since we were talking about Last Night in Soho. Right. Which Last Night in Soho has a much different feel than his other movies. He really kind of put away his sarcastic wit a lot and only brought a little bit of that in. Which is cool because it was cool to see him do something different. But man, I watched Baby Driver and the Cornetto trilogy and Scott Pilgrim, and I just love those movies so much.
Well, and like the Sparks documentary that he...
I haven't watched that yet. I heard it was amazing.
It's amazing. Even if you don't know anything about Sparks... Like,
that's what I heard.
It's a pretty inspirational story.
Cool. Well, that's going on to my list. It is. It's on Hulu, maybe?
I think it's on Netflix.
Maybe it's Netflix. I know it's on one of them.
Just heads up, it's a you know, covers 5 decades, so it's a 2.5-hour movie.
I'm okay with that. On a good documentary, I'm okay with that. You know, you want to give me a nice popcorn movie and it's 2 hours plus, I'm going to have a hard time. But if it's something with some real meat to it, I'm okay with it.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, awesome, man. Hey, so, you know, I don't want to keep you forever, but I'm really enjoying the conversation.
Awesome, too. Man. Like, if you're down to chat, I'll chat more, like, you know.
Well, talk a few more minutes, and for me, it's a little late. I'm hitting the 10 o'clock mark, so I won't be up too much later. I got to get up for work, but yeah, man, like, you know, if you had a dream kind of project, let's just say you got to rescore. Let's do this. Let's say you had to rescore one of your favorite films. What would be one of your things you'd want to tackle, or at least a style or genre you'd want to tackle?
I would want to do something like, Barbarella or something that's just like a heavy metal
nice
thing where it's just like so visually over the top that you could, you know, because one of the things that pisses me off about film music now is like there's no hooks.
Yeah.
There's no John Williams scores anymore. It's all just like you think of Danny Elfman's Batman score and you know it.
Yeah.
But like I challenge you to think of like the score from Inception other than blah, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even like, you know, the newest Matrix came out. I've always liked the pop music. I mean, it's not really pop.
Right.
It's industrial and whatever that's
right,
in it.
Right.
But I don't always love the score in it.
Right.
When it's more score, it's not that I don't like it. It kind of works, but I don't remember it. But like right. There are some songs that like when they drop, those are scenes that I remember. Like, oh, okay, this song cues off this battle, this fight. You know,
right? And, like when you hear that propeller heads thing.
Yes, exactly. That's a great example.
Like you play that scene in your head when you hear that song.
Right, right.
And like the score doesn't do that for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Modern scores.
But like you're saying, like as far as like you know the Elfman Batman scores, you know, I feel like the last franchise I remember score really hitting me that's like a big franchise is probably the Harry Potter movies. Weirdly enough.
Totally.
I love the scores in that. Yeah. I don't remember who did all that stuff off the top of my head. It's somebody. It's one of the big guys. It is.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. When I think of like kind of the big cinema moments, a lot of that score doesn't. Now there are really great scores and things going on still, but it's not usually in the way those big movies were that it's super memorable and that's
right.
Something that. Yeah, I hadn't really like, thought about.
I mean, you know, like, I know the Superman theme from the Richard Donner thing. Like,
my God.
I haven't seen that movie in 20-some-odd years, but I know it. But, like, the movie I watched yesterday, I can't remember the score.
Right.
It's like...
Yeah, I'm with you.
Other than, like, in the trailer, there was probably, like, a slowed-down piano ballad version of another song that I liked. Which I'm like, why do they keep doing
that? That's a big thing, both especially with trailers. But I mean, even the new Matrix movie I brought up, even though I liked the cover, you know, the you could have just used the original White Rabbit. I would be cool with that. You didn't really need to give me that. But
And I was like, and I think Donnie Darko already did that the best.
Right.
With their, you know, I'm like, oh, it's the Donnie Darko thing, the slowed down cover of another.
Yeah, I wonder if that's the first movie that kind of really kicked off that craze. It might be.
That's it. That, to my recollection, that it is, because I was like, oh shit, like that Tears for Fears song. Holy, you know.
Yeah, well, and I really, I do love that version of the Tears for Fears song a lot.
100%.
Oh, well, you know, I don't mind listening to Tears for Fears too, but which actually kind of brings me back to you, because I think Tears for Fears fits in that 80s vibe that you clearly have with your music.
Oh, and I'm very influenced by guys and like a lot of the, you know, Depeche Mode and New Order and like, you know, the usual suspects. But I like right now, that was fun and bit like, you know, maybe free myself from the constraints of thinking about pop and just maybe doing more atmospheric stuff, because I listen to a lot of ambient and stuff. It's just I don't make that kind of stuff,
but I do think generally that stuff creeps into your sound, because I do think you have some cool soundscapes in the back kind of guiding what you're doing. Like there's a pop sense, you know, out front, but there's some cool stuff behind it that's not necessarily pop.
It's like I could sit down and write like a 7-minute ambient tune, but I find myself like getting bored and I'm like, oh, I need like a chorus thing here. And then it becomes this truncated sort of pop song, but they start is like long.
It's like musical ADHD.
Yeah, that's 100%. I have ADHD.
That's fair. Yeah. My son is the poster child for ADHD, so I get it.
Yeah. No. But yeah, I would want to do something like one of those visually over the top movies if I was gonna get a dream project.
That's cool. Yeah, I do think that'd be a cool way to go. And the cool thing is that some of those movies work with weird ambient things, and some of them have just straight ahead like bangers, you know, throughout, you know, right. You know, and so, and I think they both kind of work, you know, you think of, you know, some of the more insane visuals, and I'm a horror guy, bro. You know, I mentioned that earlier. You know, I think of some of like Argento's Goblin scores and stuff, like with this crazy, crazy rock band. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I love all the Goblin stuff.
Yeah. Or like even, you know, you think of a, you know, movie he produced, but Lamberto Bava did Demons. And that's got, you know, it's got a scene where there's a Motorhead song blaring while a guy's riding around on a motorcycle in a theater chopping off zombie heads, or not zombies, but demon heads. It's amazing. You know, so.
My answer. My dream project is working with that Panos Cosmatos guy.
Oh! Who
did Beyond the Black Rainbow and
Mandy. Yeah.
Like, that guy gets it.
Yo, he makes some wacky stuff. And with that, I think it's a good spot to kind of wrap this up, because that's a good dream project. I'll take that.
Right,
So folks want to check out your music and your cool video you talked about, that cool video project you did. Where can they find all that stuff?
So the album, the streaming services, it's called The Series of Moments by Signs, S-I-N-E-S. Just look for, you know, this face being ripped off in the robot underneath it, in the album art. Homage to Future World. And then it's on Vimeo. I think it's just under Jason Wan.
And I'll make sure I'll probably embed it, because I have it.
Perfect.
So people, so really all they need to do is scroll down a little bit further from this video and you'll see it. So click it.
Yeah. If you want more dope content, hit like and subscribe, because it helps the channel and so on and so forth.
Awesome. Hey, well, Jason, it was great talking. It won't be the last time. And
all right,
let's talk again soon. Take care, man.
All right. Take care. See ya.